Did you listen to the rest of the album or no?
I think I got halfway through the metal side.
Did you like it more?
I did like that more.
Yeah. It's just, I feel like that side was just put together better. The songs, like,
it seems like there were songs they wanted to write more.
Right. That's kind of what I was getting at.
Somebody commented, and I thought this too, that the first half sounded like it was like rejects from the MGK album.
Yeah, I actually have the Reddit post up about that. Here, let's go ahead and start. We could just kind of talk about it. I have some notes, but
because that's the first thing it made me think of too. Is like, oh, this sounds like it should be in.
Yeah, it
just like lyrically, like.
Yeah, I know. All right, let me begin, and we'll just start off there. What is up, everybody? Welcome to Unplugged with Tyler Winters and John Pierman. I'm Tyler Winters. John Pierman is here, and a fantastic show for you planned today. This week, we've had the long-awaited album of Sum 41's drop. It's the double album, Heaven and Hell. And we've
been stuck in purgatory waiting for it.
Yeah, no shit. Well, it finally was released. We're going to share our thoughts on that. And then we're also going to run through a couple topics that we came across. I want to get your thoughts, John. I wonder how you feel about the practice of artists releasing multiple vinyl versions in order to boost sales. Yes. Billie Eilish is not a fan of this. I don't know where I stand, so we're going to kind of just talk it out and see where we go. And then also, John, you shared something with me, and it's kind of a good segue into what we're about to talk about with the new Sum 41 album, but you shared I think it was a Reddit post? No, it wasn't a Reddit post, was it?
It was.
Oh, okay.
It was an article on a Reddit post.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. But the article title was Song Lyrics Are Getting Simpler, More Repetitive, Angry, and Self-Obsessed. So we're going to kind of talk about that and see what we think. But before we get into all of that, I want to give a huge shout out to our current monthly supporters. Your support means the world to us and does not go unnoticed. And it really does go a long way in keeping this thing going. Guys, if you're interested in supporting the show for as little as $3 a month, which is less than the cost of your morning coffee, you can help us continue creating great scene-related content without the need for us to rely on ads, which can distract you from your listening experience. Plus, it's a vote of confidence that we're on the right track and creating the content that you love. So if this sounds like something you'd be interested in doing, please click the support the show link in the show notes. And if you can't contribute financially, no worries. Leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify is a fantastic way to show your support. And please feel free to share these episodes with the people that you think will love the show. And also, we have a newsletter. Don't forget. If you want to stay updated on all of the latest scene news and music releases, sign up for the Unplugged Weekly Newsletter. We gather all of the essentials for you, making it a one-click source for scene updates. And the best part, it's entirely free. So head over to unplugged.allpunkedup.com to start staying informed and consider signing up. We've included a link in the show notes for your convenience. So with that out of the way, let's get into the show. So I say that's a good segue, song lyrics, because the new album, Heaven and Hell, from Sum 41 was just released this week. Overall, I'm going to say I really enjoyed the album. John, upon initial listening after the first few songs, texted me and said that he wasn't impressed with the song lyrics. Now, this would be on the pop punk side, the first initial songs. So yeah, I feel like this is a good segue into that album. John, I don't know where we want to start.
But I'm a harsh critic, definitely in that aspect of any music genre. I'm very harsh in that aspect, so
yeah,
to be fair.
And I never really listened to the lyrics until like after I like a song enough to listen to it a couple times, then I start kind of paying attention, because then I'm starting to memorize the words and stuff. That's kind of when they stand out to me the most. So
there's a problem when I'm hearing a song for the first time and I'm able to predict
the
next line.
Yeah, right. I will
say, and
that's
a problem I ran into with that first half of the record. I was like, oh, they're going to say this.
Yeah, and I don't know. Is that just a pop punk thing? Like basic lyrics, nothing too exciting for the most part?
I mean, it's just tended to do a lot of the AABB kind of rhyming scheme. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it can become pretty predictable.
It can.
Especially when it's monosyllabic.
And it's not like it's a terrible thing. It's not like it's a real bad thing.
But it's not the worst thing in the world. It's just
kind of comes
can be
monotonous
irritating.
And yeah.
Well, I like to think of it like if you were a fellow of that age and you wrote a song for a young lady, and you gave her those lyrics, she'd be like, what the fuck's going on with this guy?
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. I could see
like,
that.
This is all you could come up with?
So, the song lyrics, I feel, because after you said that, I tried to kind of pay attention. I do feel like they are way better on the second half portion, correct, the metal side, the hell
I
side.
I just felt like they wanted to do that half of the record, and the other one was like, well, we can do this.
Right.
So they just did it.
Yeah. And maybe that's when, and who knows, just total speculation, maybe because Derek ended up thinking, hey, we're going to put Sum 41 to rest, but we should revisit a nostalgic side of Sum 41, bring back the pop punk and the metal stuff. Who knows? And then maybe he kind of just put these songs together kind of quickly. I don't know.
I would have rather heard re-records of like a first half as like a greatest hits from like the first three or four albums or something like that than what we got.
You think? Yeah. I think overall though, for a final album, I give it an A+. For a final album, for an actual album for Sum 41, I think I give it somewhere between a B+, A-. I think it's a great album. I think it'll actually go down as one of their better albums. But yeah, I do
people
have
seem to like it.
I do have some issues with, I don't even know if I want to call them issues, but I have some things about the pop punk side that kind of I'm not really a huge fan of, and I'll kind of go through that. I have like little notes on my phone here.
I mean, if you could have been, I played it on my Bluetooth speaker in the bathroom, and the so we have I put a new exhaust fan with a Bluetooth speaker. It's actually pretty
nice. Oh, nice! Cool.
Well, I didn't put it in. Somebody put it in,
okay,
and I turn it on.
Gotcha.
but I think I audibly groaned like 5 times while getting ready this morning
during
from song lyrics in the on the pop punk side. I just went, ugh.
So here's my thing. So I will say that the pop punk side I feel like has some great riffs. I like great. A
musically,
lot of the melody. Yeah, the
musically
was great. The melodies were great. However, I will say, Landmines, probably arguably the most popular song on that album. I feel like the melody was recycled 2 times during this album, and it's on Time Won't Wait and Dopamine, which Dopamine seems to be getting a lot of praise right now.
That one seemed to be the most hooky to me,
but also
the most MGK sounding.
You know why Dopamine is more hooky? Not only does it have Landmines melody in there somewhere, I don't have it written down quite where it is, but it's there. But it also has Mr. Brightside verse melody. Ooh. In the verses. You'll hear it immediately. It's just like a more sped up version of those verses, but it's there. And that's why it's so hooky, I feel like, because The Killers, everybody loves that Mr. Brightside song.
Well.
But it's obvious. If you go listen to it again, you'll hear it. You'll hear it right at the beginning of the song. But also, so I feel like you said, it was almost like it was just kind of these pop punk songs were just kind of put together. I don't know if they were put together quickly. Were they on tour with The Offspring this maybe last year or something? I feel like they were, but I could be wrong.
No, weren't they on the Simple Plan tour?
I don't know. But maybe the Offspring was on there too.
I thought it was the double Canadian band thing.
Either way, I bring that up because there is, I feel like, a lot of Offspring influence throughout this record, especially on the pop punk side. I think some of these songs could easily be Offspring songs, and some may actually be Offspring songs because I hear in Bad Mistake, it's equal to You're Gonna Go Far, Kid. Definitely has the vibe, and the verses and the choruses share same melody parts. You will hear it if you go listen to both of those songs. I also have Future Primitive, which is another good song, but it equals All I Want from The Offspring. And I say, from my notes, I have both parts of the pre-chorus and chorus sound the same as All I Want. And then, as I said, I have Dopamine versus equals The Killers.
How'd you have time to do all this research?
I just heard it. Like, well, just listening, I'm like, well, this song sounds familiar. Because, like, I'll be listening to a song, and I'll be like you predict the next line. I predict the next melody, like how the melody will go. And I immediately wanted to go into All I Want or You're Gonna Go Far, Kid. And I listened to them back to back and I could hear it. I wouldn't say it's enough to like where you should necessarily give The Offspring any credit on the song, but it's there. The similarities are there. But yeah, those are my main issues, I guess, with the pop punk side. What was your favorite song on the pop punk side, if you had to pick?
Like Dopamine was the
most Dopamine's very good
original one to me.
Yeah, I think that's the one they're pushing right now. I do feel like the pop punk side got a little stronger towards the end of it. I think Radio Silence was really good. It's a slower one. But yeah, I think Dopamine's exciting. Landmines, of course, is such a good song. I mean, it's been out for a while, so I almost don't want to pick that one. But yeah, I think Dopamine and Bad Mistake, even though I'm hearing, you know, the Offspring similarities in those songs, like they stand out significantly to me, I still think they're strong songs. So, but yeah, Radio Silence, I really like that one. I could see that one being a single. All right, so let's move to the metal side, which you and I both agree is the better side. I think it's the most exciting. I feel like on the pop punk side, a lot of the songs kind of, I don't want to say they ran together, but there wasn't a lot of differentiation between each song, I guess. But on the metal side, for me, I feel like every song kind of stands on its own. What did you think?
I just enjoyed the metal side. Like, even the, I think there's a spot on the first side where it gets a little harder. I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
Yeah, I noticed that I think the intro song, what is that? The intro song is Waiting on a Twist of Fate. It does have metal vibes like towards the end or towards the middle of that song. But yeah, I think the metal side is the stronger side. And I have written down here, I love Rise Up, which has already been released. But I love Stranger in These Times and I Don't Need Anyone or other standouts to me. For I Don't Need Anyone, I love the opening riff and the bass line on the verses is really, really good. I don't know if you caught that or not, but what did you think of the cover, the Paint It Black cover, the Rolling Stone cover that they, Rolling Stones cover?
I don't think I got to it.
Oh, it's okay.
It's towards the end.
Yeah, it is towards the end. Check that one out. I feel like, I'm not going to say it's like better than the original, but it's not bad. Like it works. And it's a nod to, you know, their influences and stuff like that. So I get, I get it.
Dark song. Yeah.
I like it. I think they did it well.
It's a brave one. Cause I mean, a lot of people have done that song. So
have they?
Okay. Put your own twist. Yeah. It's an oft covered song. So
I'll say it fits on this record, their version of it. So they did a nice job. Do you have a favorite song on the metal side from what you've heard already?
From what I've heard, I think Rise Up probably.
Rise Up is really good.
It's the first one they released, so
it's strong. Sense, so. Yeah, I feel like You Wanted War was pretty good too. I think I like I Don't Need Anyone because I like the I don't want to say the depth, but you know, there's a lot different parts going on. So it's more dynamic, I guess. Because it's got a really great guitar riff, and then the bass does its own thing on the verses. Then they get loud at other parts in the song. So I think I Don't Need Anyone might be my favorite after Rise Up, because Rise Up is a very strong song. So overall, John, from what you've heard, what would you give this album? How would you grade it?
Gosh, probably a C+ to me.
Okay. All right. And is it because the pop punk side just didn't really...
To be fair, I'm still, you know, only 3/4 of the way through it, so it could bump up into the B's, but right now it's a C+.
I'd say definitely no lower than a B+. Yeah, like I said, in between a B+ and an A- overall, but I do think it's an A+ for a final album. I think this is gonna go down as, you know, Sum 41's best records. It really does, I feel like, encapsulates like everything that they've done from the beginning to the end. Yeah. So I think they did a nice job there.
I mean, it does. That's what I was reading about it. It kind of encapsulates, you know, their whole kind of journey as a band. Yeah. So for that.
Yeah. Well done. I mean, that's I think that's what they strive to do. And that's exactly what they did. So
And I think a lot of people are, you know, sad that this is going to be it. So
I know. It's a strong album to end on, too. That's the thing.
Yeah.
It's not.
And, you know, they could have just, you know, said fuck it and not done anything.
Exactly.
They decided they're done. So, yeah. You know, at least they gave their fans this.
Yep. I love the album. I'm struggling, and I'll have to listen to Green Day's Saviors album again. I did try listening to it again this week, but I think I might. I think I might like this album more. And I thought Saviors was going to be my. I know it's early, but it might be my album of the year. But this one's definitely going to give it a run for its money. We'll see how it plays out the rest of the year, though, yeah. I guess.
For me, it's Alkaline Trio right now that's way out in the lead for
album of the year. But. I've heard a lot of people I saw a post on Reddit that was like, what's your album of the year so far? And people are putting Saviors, Alkaline Trio, and Sum 41 on their list. So.
Yeah, and that one, what's that other band people like? It's very poppy, punky. I can't think of it.
I mean, it could be anything.
Knuckle deep.
Or, knuckle deep. Neck deep.
Is that what? Yeah, that's thinking, that's a whole different kind of band.
You're thinking knuckle puck and neck deep together. Knuckle yeah. deep. Oh my god. Yeah, that's a different meaning right there.
It's a lucky girl.
Okay. All right, John. Let's move on. You said knuckle deep.
Sometimes right. You got a bad itch, you know.
I think I'm going to name this episode Knuckle Deep.
There you go.
All right. All right, John, let's get to...
What I say.
Let's get to the topic, main topic today. One of the main topics today. So came across an article. It says, Billie Eilish blasts artists who release multiple vinyl variants to boost album sales. And so this was written on Consequence of Sound. This is what it says. Billie Eilish has spoken up against the practice of some of the biggest artists in the world releasing multiple vinyl variants to boost album sales. In a new interview with Billboard about her sustainability efforts, Eilish vented about the wastefulness that comes from producing different vinyl packages to entice more fan spending. She says, "We live in this day and age where, for some reason, it's very important to some artists to make all sorts of different vinyl and packaging, which ups the sales and ups the numbers and gets them more money and gets them more." She continued, "I find it really frustrating as somebody who really goes out of my way to be sustainable and do the best that I can and try to involve everybody in my team in being sustainable. And then it's some of the biggest artists in the world making fucking 40 different vinyl packages that have a different unique thing just to get you to keep buying more." She says, "It's so wasteful, it's irritating, all your favorite artists doing that shit because they are so much about their sales numbers and making money."
Yeah, that's kind of the idea, Billy.
Yeah. Hold on, though. As Billboard notes, Eilish isn't immune from the practice. Her most recent studio album, Happier Than Ever, was offered in 8 vinyl variants. As a result...
Only 8, though.
The artist earned the second largest one-week vinyl sales in 30 years. It's worth noting, however, that the pressings were manufactured with sustainability in mind, using recycled materials. Okay, so two forms of thought here. So there's the sustainability factor. You know, she wants to use recycled materials. I agree. I think that is important, especially in this day and age. But then there's the other part where you have you're releasing all of these different variants, and those different variants, when they're bought, you know, a fan might buy 8 variants, and well, that counts as 8 album sales. Whereas that same fan, if there was only one variant, they would only have bought one album, so it would have counted as one sale. So I guess I bring this up because, one, I want to know your thoughts on this practice. I'll share mine. But overall, what do you think of the practice of releasing multiple variants in order to boost album sales?
I mean, I don't have a problem with it. It's really on the labels more so. I don't think the band's always making that decision.
Right.
You know, sometimes it's the label. It is wasteful, but anytime you make a vinyl record, it's going to be wasteful because they're petroleum products. But, I mean, you can do things like use recycled vinyl and recycled materials. A band like King Gizzard and Lizard Wizard, who does a lot of variants and stuff like that, does do that. Sometimes I like it, sometimes I don't.
Yeah,
I understand what she's saying, but also when you use recycled vinyl, it sounds like shit. So that's something to think about too.
Interesting. So the real vinyl, I don't even say collectors, but the vinyl users out there may actually care if it's sustainable or recycled material or not. They might go against their decision or for their decision of buying something. So I feel like I'm not really sure how I feel about this because I understand both sides. The sustainability thing, yeah, I get that. I don't like the idea of being wasteful. But overall, I think when it comes to just having multiple variants to boost album sales, I guess it's okay. The only thing is I really don't think the results of this practice, I guess, show truly how good or bad an album is. I think it kind of just skews the numbers overall.
No.
In the end.
You could say the same thing about reissuing an album 10 times. That's wasteful.
Absolutely.
You know, doing an anniversary issue of something is wasteful.
Absolutely. And then that skews the numbers as well. But
I mean, there's also new people discovering music and they want a physical copy of it. So
yep.
In order to provide that for them, you know, there's not necessarily used copies of those things lying around.
Exactly.
Because, you know, the people that have bought them within the last few years have, you know, still have them. So,
yeah. And I guess it makes it easier. It does make it easier for the consumer to get what they want. Sure. And you can imagine, too, what if you had only one variant and you ran out of that album? You know, so somebody couldn't get it.
People want more, then they're demanding more. You make more.
Yeah, that's true. I do think it's a cheap way to rise up the charts, but
sure.
Again, it's not. I don't think it should necessarily be frowned upon. I guess I'm kind of on the fence about it. I don't think it's bad, but I don't think it's good. You know, so yeah. I'm okay either way.
I understand the stance, but I mean, in the grand scheme of things, is that a huge footprint on? You know,
yeah, that's the thing too. It's like you see a bunch of people complaining about all sorts of different things in the world.
I mean, does Billie Eilish fly on a private jet? Because I'm sure that does
right.
significantly more damage than
exactly.
production of an album.
Exactly. So those are the things. Like,
that's my question.
Jeez, you okay? John took a sip of coffee.
You fucking bitch.
Yeah, that's the thing though. Like, people complain about some things, you know, when it comes to, let's just say, polluting the world or whatever, when there's bigger things to complain about that actually pollute the world even more. So it's like, I feel like we don't really pick our battles well often.
Yeah.
So I think this is just one of those things that, yeah, how bad is it actually? Is there something else we could turn our attention to that would actually help more with helping the world?
Yeah,
that sort of thing. I mean, so
all electric tour buses or something.
Yeah, right. That would probably
does she
be
hold
a
all her farts
though.
In? I don't know.
Yeah,
she doesn't look like the kind of girl that would.
No, I bet she lets them fly.
Yeah, just lets them rip.
I like that though. You know, don't be ashamed. Let it go.
Hey, I'm not judging.
All right, John, let's move on because something else.
For it.
Here's something that you do judge, and it's song lyrics.
Yeah, harshly.
Let's move on to that topic because you shared that with me this week. It was an article titled Song Lyrics Are Getting Simpler, More Repetitive, Angry, and Self-Obsessed. There was a study done, I guess. And we can read through some of the Reddit comments and find out what they think as well before we share our thoughts. But basically, this article was on The Guardian, and it reads, "You're not just getting older. Song lyrics really are becoming simpler and more repetitive, according to a study published on Thursday. Lyrics have also become angry and more self-obsessed over the last 40 years, reinforcing the opinions of cranky, aging music fans everywhere. Mm-hmm. What I like about that line, John, is I feel like I have been more judgy of music lately, and I have been wondering if it's just me getting older and like becoming like one of those cranky old men, but this is making me feel like, no, I still got it. My opinion is valid.
Yeah, you're so valid.
It goes on to say, a team of European researchers analyzed the words in more than 12,000 English language songs across the genres of rap, country, pop, R&B, and rock from the 80s to 2020. Before detailing how lyrics have become more basic, the study pointed out that U.S. singer-songwriter legend Bob Dylan, who rose to fame in the 60s, has won a Nobel Prize in Literature. Senior study author named Eva says, What we have also been witnessing in the last 40 years is a drastic change in the music landscape, from how music is sold to how music is produced, obviously. Across all genres, lyrics had a tendency to become more simple and more repetitive. Uh-huh. Lyrics have also become much more self-obsessed, with words such as me or mine becoming more popular. Rap music has become more angry than other genres. Rock has tumbled down the charts in recent decades, and this could suggest fans are increasingly looking back to the genre's heyday rather than its present. Rock Correct. Fans most often looked up lyrics from older songs rather than the new ones.
Like a deuce in the middle of the night or whatever.
Yeah, right. Another way that music has changed is that the first 10 to 15 seconds are highly decisive for whether we skip the song or not. I've noticed that I do that more, especially with newer songs. So I agree with that. You have to hook a new listener of a yeah. song quickly.
For me, it's like the first 5 seconds of vocals, and I'm like, nope.
Yeah. Well, also, like, if it takes, you know how, like, I don't know, you can have, like, one note that is kind of, like, swelling into a song, but if it's taking too long to get to, like, something, I'm going to skip it. So, and I think that's sad yeah. that we've come to that, because there's a lot of songs, like, if you pick the first one that comes to mind is, like, Champagne Supernova. There's, like, from Oasis, there's, like, that water sound, and it takes a minute for the music to really kind of kick in. Today, if that song was released, I probably wouldn't give it a chance. But
yeah, nobody's getting through the intro to Time by Pink Floyd.
Oh, absolutely not.
What the hell?
Yeah. Okay, so it goes on to say, previous research also suggested that people tend to listen to music more in the background these days. Songs with more choruses that repeat basic lyrics appear to be more popular, and lyrics should stick easier nowadays simply because they are easier to memorize. That's what this person says. So, yeah. Thoughts on this, John? Have you noticed that lyrics have started to become more repetitive, angry, or self-obsessed?
Definitely. I don't know about angry. Like, at least not angry in a way that I believe it. Like, they might be written to sound angry, but it's just like, yeah, you're angry like a 14-year-old's angry yeah, kind of thing.
I feel like there's more anger in the scene that we kind of talk about. Like, I've heard it more in pop punk. I think the ladies have a little bit more anger yeah. that they're talking about. I mean, there's yeah, a fair I share of men that. Too, but mostly yeah. I feel like a lot of female lyrics, whether that's on pop radio or country or pop punk or rock, there's anger. I'm hearing that a lot more now, and maybe that's because we've, you know, the last couple of years we went through the Me Too movement. We've had, you know, Roe v. Wade taken away. There's a lot to be angry about. So maybe that's why. I don't know. But this is also pointing to the last 40 years. This article is saying the last 40 years they've been seeing this trend. So I don't know. I've been noticing it more lately.
Yeah, I didn't think about it in that context, like from the female point of view. It's hard for me to think from that point of view.
I do listen to a lot of more. I feel like I listen to more women-led bands.
Sure.
So I feel like I just notice it more. But
do you find yourself filled with an immense amount of guilt from day to day?
All the time. Like, yes.
Oh my God, what did I do?
Yeah, all the time. All the time.
What a piece of shit I am.
It goes into my decision making and everything.
Yeah.
It's changed my life.
God, I'm a piece of shit.
I don't know. Should we go through some of the comments on Reddit? Was there anything, I don't know if you read through the comments yet, but was there anything that stood out to you before I start reading any?
Oh, not really.
Okay. I haven't read through any of these, but the first one that has 4,300 likes or upvotes. They say people are increasingly listening to what they are fed by an algorithm rather than what they self-select. And meanwhile, their selections are also changing as always. That's an interesting take. So you listen to one song, the algorithm's going to think you like it. So if it happens to have angry lyrics, maybe it feeds you more. I don't know how deep that algorithm goes.
Yeah.
But that is an interesting take. Somebody replies and says, this is the real answer. The algorithm rewards those who sound more like everyone else than anyone else. Interesting. They go, you're listening to KLN radio. We sound more like everyone else than anyone else. Mm-hmm. That's funny. So that's an interesting point.
I don't think it's that recent. I mean, I think it's been this way for maybe the last 10, 15 years. I think we've seen this trend a little bit.
I think so too.
As you see, you know, singer songwriter, and you know the what's happened to country music. I mean, anything that's not to say that there's not artists that write really personal and strong lyrics. That you know, it does happen. But just on the whole, I think in the last 15, 20 years, it's just you've seen it. I don't want to say dumbing down, but you know, kind of dumbing down.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I agree. And I feel like, especially though, in the last few years, we just see this pumping out of new song after new song. I mean, we have so many new songs that are added every day to Spotify, every month to Spotify, more than we've ever had before. And I feel like we're talking about dumbing down. It's like, maybe it's just a way, maybe, yeah, we are dumbing things down to get them out faster. You know, I don't know. This other person says, I wouldn't say say increasingly in any way, except that selection is done more by machine these days than music industry exec types. The vast majority of all art consumption has pretty much always been along whatever amounts to the mainstream for the time and medium. I agree. I do find it to be more unfortunate these days, though, in that music is in the best place it's ever been, and it's so easy to discover great new music of any conceivable type of genre from all over the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's never been easier to create and to reach people. Yet, I think the best of those artists just get lost.
Yeah.
Because people aren't receptive to something new or something, you know, kind of deep, you know, or something different. They're just not, you know, they're so instantly shut off by it that it's just not being discovered, I don't think. So I think we're losing a lot of great artists that way, probably.
I think so, too. I don't know. I think there's two parts to this, kind of. Yes, I think we are, like that person said, I think we are in a great time for music because, like you said, it's so easy to get your music out there. It's so much easier to produce the music, create the music. But at the same time, there's just so much music out there that, yeah, it is hard. Yes, it can be easy to get discovered, but it can also be extremely hard because the pool of people is just so large. We're just stuffing so much music into this space, and you know, only so much can get discovered at one time. So it's kind of like, I don't know, there's good and bad to it. But let's see, what else do we have here? This person who actually looked at the original article, it says, from figure two, it looks like the disproportionate share of the increase in repetitiveness comes from rap, and like rap, is objectively changing far faster than the other genres analyzed. It says, sort of confirms my feeling that hip-hop isn't what it was when I was a kid. I still like it, but I miss it as a vehicle for storytelling, etc. I think that's true. And hell, I like storytelling a ton in music, and you just don't really see that too often anymore, except in like country music, because that's like its bread and butter. But yeah, there used to be a lot more storytelling in rap, and I don't really hear that anymore. It's more of just like,
it's like a repetitive hook. Yeah,
I have all this money, I get all these chicks.
But again, this is
misogynistic.
We're not speaking in absolutes, because there's definitely some great lyricists.
Sure, know, absolutely.
Kendrick Lamar and J. Cole and people like that, and Drake that are doing.
I think when you're looking at more of what's hitting like the mainstream pop radios and stuff, that's more of what I'm talking about. And I hope, and maybe what that person's talking about, because there are some great lyricists out there, you know, even the ones you named for sure. But then even Eminem, he doesn't talk about some of the nonsense that the kids on the radio are talking about today. Mm-hmm. So, and apparently Eminem's coming out with a new album this year. It says Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg. So,
I've heard that too. So we'll see.
Yeah, I kind of can't wait to hear that. Hey, and I'm going to throw that out there. That could end up being my album of the year too. You never know.
Uh-oh.
I know we're more of a scene-y type podcast, but I don't mind throwing Eminem out there.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just at my age, I'm looking for something that kind of sounds so stupid, but if it doesn't like speak to me on a personal level, then it's hard for me to really dive into.
I agree. And I'm starting to get to the point too where, you know, like you said, when you were listening to some of the songs on Sum 41's album, the pop punk side, you said you audibly like, ugh, when you heard some things. I'm kind of getting to that point now, too. I think it's like an age thing. I don't think the song necessarily needs to speak to me, but it can't be juvenile, you know? Like,
sure.
Like it,
and it wasn't that the topic, like the subject matter wasn't, it's just the way that it's
presented,
written.
Yeah.
And then sometimes there'll be something that's just like almost forced into the melody. Like it's that shoehorning that I talk about all the time where like, okay, we have this lyric written, but it doesn't quite work, so we're just going to fucking ram it in there.
Yeah. No, I know.
Instead of like stopping and be like, oh, let's find something different. No, we'll just fucking ram it in there.
Yeah, right. And again, that really reminds me of, and I've brought it up a thousand times, I feel like, but when Blink-182 was working with John Feldman, John Feldman was a believer and kind of instilled in them, you know, first thought, best thought when it comes to lyrics. And I don't necessarily think that's ever, should ever be
sometimes
the case.
Sometimes something doesn't fit.
Yeah.
And I mean, look at all those Dookie demos and stuff.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
Look how much better those songs are.
Yeah.
From the, you know, that skeleton beginning that, you know, that they had.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, sometimes you're just getting the thoughts on paper so you have something to work with. Yeah, so you have, I mean, a
sometimes
flow.
The songs are flipped completely on their head. They're a completely different song.
Right. Like, what comes to mind is Smells Like Teen Spirit. I think the chorus was actually the verses, and they were different words too at one point, the original. And then it ended up completely changing and becoming the monster that it was. And thank goodness. But
What if Strawberry Fields is just John Lennon strumming an acoustic guitar and nothing?
Yeah.
Nothing else. It'd be like, okay, that's a song.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. So first thought, best thought's not always the case. Sometimes, sure.
Sometimes it's, you know, fucking smoke a joint and have 30 thoughts and see what happens.
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting that everybody should take drugs, but, you know, the music was better.
There's something to be said about the ones who were using when writing music.
I mean, just don't get hooked on heroin.
For God's sakes, no.
Just dabble.
Just a little.
Why doesn't anybody just dabble anymore?
Dip
a toe in heroin.
Yeah, you want your cake and you want to eat it too. You can't do that. Just a little bit. Take one bite.
Yeah. Good. Just a little heroin.
Guys, we are completely joking. Please.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of joking. I could start heroin and stop.
We should try that.
Yeah.
This week.
We'll do it as a test for the podcast. I don't want to shoot it.
Well, how are you going to do it? You can smoke it?
I think you can snort it.
Snort it?
You could snort it. I think you could freebase it too. Both seem dangerous.
Okay. We're going to need a heroin user on when we do this so they could teach you what to do.
Tell me what to do.
We'll live stream this too.
I don't like needles, so I don't want to shoot it.
No. Oh, God. I can't believe people do that. There's no way. There's no way.
No. And no one should.
No one
despite
should.
Despite my last rant, no. No heroin.
Yeah, definitely.
Just smoke more weed than you need.
Yeah.
Nothing bad will happen. Don't drive or anything.
That's better.
Or don't be in, like, taking care of children while you do it. But if you're on your own,
yeah,
smoke more weed than you're comfortable with and then write a song. And it's going to come out great.
All right. There, you heard it from one of the greats, John Bierman. John, I think this is a great place to end it.
Smoke weed until you're trembling, and then try to write a song.
One time I smoked weed to the point where I was trembling.
Yep.
And that, you know.
It's not a fun place to be.
It was not a fun place to be, no.
No, it's that, when is this going to be done?
Yeah.
You just want to know where the finish line is.
Please, like, please be done, because I'm freaking the hell out.
I want to be normal again. Am I broken? And the best part is, you always get back to normal.
Yeah, you do. You do, to some degree at least. Unless, of course, it was laced with fentanyl. Then you really...
Well, I don't think there was any fentanyl in it. I smoked the same batch. I think if it's a stronger strain than what you're used to and you haven't eaten, that's a bad combination.
Yeah, and that was definitely the case.
There's nothing there to absorb it, so nope. You're just kind of, you know...
My mind absorbed it.
Uh-huh. And then, if it's a strain that's going to induce some anxiety... Or if you're already prone to a little bit of anxiety and panic, then that's an even worse combination.
I'm not saying that I thought that was laced with fentanyl, but I'm just saying you gotta watch out for anything that is laced with fentanyl.
Oh, definitely now.
Then you don't return to your normal self.
Only buy from your local dispensary.
Absolutely.
Proof products.
Do it legally, people.
Yeah.
All right.
Do it the right way.
All right, John. So I think this is a good place to end. So I don't know if song lyrics... I do think song lyrics are getting a little bit more simpler, more repetitive. You're hearing the same thing over and over, but I think that's mainly on pop radio more so than everywhere else. So guys, we'd love to hear what you think. Let us know in the comments, wherever. Let us know on the socials. We're going to go ahead and end the show, though. So, all right, guys, that'll do it for this episode. So thank you so much for tuning in. If you're really digging the show, please consider helping us spread the word and leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts and or on Spotify. A 5-star review would be greatly appreciated, and please let us know what you'd like to hear more of. So with that, thanks again. Peace.
Toodaloo. Ooh, ooh.
Nailed it.